those lyrics of that last song, if you can recall, those that have been journeying with us for a while, we've decreed the reality of the increase of God's kingdom to manifest on the earth and His glory. And so we experience part of it, but we keep on, because there's far more that God wants to manifest concerning His kingdom and His glory. So as Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so that's what we have stepped into, and what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks is just allowing this to be established within us, where two or three come together in His name, and whatever we ask, He will do it, so that the Father is glorified. And so we are learning, as we're going to be really becoming very practical here in asking and praying and in agreement, to see the manifestation of God's kingdom and His glory in our community, in our homes, in our nation, wherever we may be. So that's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But I want to just share, when we speak about governmental authority, that's what we're speaking about. It's God's kingdom. Remember in Isaiah chapter 9, where Isaiah is prophesying the birth of Jesus Christ, and the government will be upon His shoulder. And so that's what we're speaking about. It's Christ, the King of Kings. It's His rule. It's His reign here. And so we've also been speaking about the reality of God's grace. And remember what God's grace is. It is God Himself leaning forwards to really bless us, despite what we've done. Okay? It's a gift. And so the government of God, it is God's gift to mankind, setting us free, and for us to be able to live in the incredible life of being in His kingdom, with Christ as our King, and yielded to Him. And so that's being released, and we receive it by faith. And that's why this grace, because you're going to find that manifesting the kingdom of God is total reliance on Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, "I cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is being made known to you." And so everything about advancing the kingdom of God is Holy Spirit working through our lives, and it's a gift, it's His work. And you and I will come into many, many situations now where it's beyond our capability, it's beyond our expertise, it's beyond our mind, it's everything. We'll find ourselves pretty boxed in concerning what we're facing, but as we step into the reality of Holy Spirit within us, there's no limits, and so His kingdom can advance. And so we're going to be facing what we will call in the natural difficulties and possibilities, but we're going to be able to now, by grace, walk in the reality of God's kingdom, and seeing the reality of His kingdom being made known here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we've looked at that for a while, and we're going to keep on over this whole year. It's going to be moving more and more into this truth. And so these are the what we've been following for quite a while now, where we spoke about the difference between God faith, religious faith, demonic faith, human faith, and for you and I to be able to discern what is truly a God-given faith, because the word faith means fully persuaded. And so even now, who is fully persuading us? Is our circumstances fully persuading us? So then we've got faith in the circumstances. Is other people's opinions about us fully persuading us? And then our faith is in other people. You see, we're fully persuaded that what they are saying is the absolute truth. So, and religion works like that. The whole demonic works like that. And so all the time you've got the accuser accusing, and we can believe that accusation, and be fully persuaded that what he is saying to us in our thoughts is the absolute truth about our lives. Or we can say, no, no, no. What do you say, Jesus? because he is truth, and be fully persuaded. So when we hear the Spirit of God revealing to us the Word of God, we experience the life of God. So that's how we recognize God faith, because we participate in the very life of God, the abundant life, and it's totally different to human faith, because it's so much limitation, there's fears or all that kind of stuff, or other people's opinions, and the demonic comes with the steal, rob, and destroy character. And so we just simply, so today we're going to be looking at light. We're just simply going to take hold. God, this is who we are. We are children of light. Simple, simple, pure faith. Nothing more, nothing less. We're just going to receive by grace. That's who we are in Christ Jesus, because in Christ we are light. Okay. And so we're going to take hold of that and continually take hold of the promises of God. So take note as you're spending time with the Holy Spirit in your quiet time, and he reveals to you what Jesus is saying to you. Jesus is showing you what the Father's will is for your life, what his purpose, the solutions for your day. Take note of that over there, because you will find life coming in there. Simply receive. That's the wisdom of God. That's what he wants you to be established in. And that, and so that's going to be challenged throughout the day, throughout the week, wherever, how long that word must be established, but it needs to be established in order to bear fruit. Otherwise, we're going to be continuously as Christians hearing, and what takes place is that when we face a challenge, we fall apart, because wow, it's simply because we've never taken the time to allow that what God spoke to us in our quiet times to become established within us. So we're very weak, immature believers, and we can't. Remember, we've got to mature. When we advance in the kingdom of God, maturity is a big thing, because maturity speaks about discernment. It speaks about being able to stand in the storms of life, because you are rooted and established in Jesus Christ. So we've looked at that over the years. We will surrender our lives to be loved by our Father, and we will live loved. And as we shared last Sunday, that the disciples, when Jesus called them and said, come and follow me, they had no idea what their yes meant. They just simply said, we're coming, and we began to follow Jesus. So we don't know what our yes to Jesus is. It's a costly yes, because persecution and all those things, and people, you know, just the demonic realm, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you have opposition. And so opposition is not going to go away. We are clothed in Jesus, so you learn how to be strong in Jesus despite opposition. That's maturing, that's growth all the time. And so we will surrender our lives, and John's writing in Revelation spoke very clearly there that how do we overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb, and also that we are prepared to die for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's simple. It's not complicated. And the struggle that you and I have will be that we have not yet become, or not yet been established in the truth that we died with Christ. We no longer live. Christ lives in us. And it's that simple faith, and you start to find that the life of the Holy Spirit enables us to be able to face what we need to go through in life. So we will live loved by God. And that's a big thing in Ephesians chapter 3, when Paul is praying for the body of Christ, and he prays this incredible, he says, I kneel before our Heavenly Father, and the whole family on earth gets its name from you, Father, and I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable people to be able to grasp, to be able to receive, to be able to have the power, to be able to have Christ dwelling in their heart dimension and their soul dimension, so that they may know what it is to be loved by Jesus Christ, so that the love of Christ is the very foundation in which they go into the tomorrow. So without knowing the depth of being loved by Jesus, we battle, and so we look at a situation and, oh, you know, all that over there, it's simply because we do not yet know. We're still growing and being established in the love of God. And so the revelation, and that's why it's simply receive. God has poured His love into hearts by the Holy Spirit. Simply believe that. Simply receive that by faith. Don't have to work for it. You simply receive it because it's a fact, the truth. God, if you're born again, Holy Spirit is inside of us. The love of God is inside of us. Thank you, I receive it. I'm going to learn now, Holy Spirit, by your power, you're going to enable me to be able to grow in knowing that I'm loved. And that, so you're receiving by faith what is a truth in our lives, and the Holy Spirit will help us to grow into more and more of what it is to be loved by Jesus. But it's important because that love of Christ is the very source of His life flowing into our lives that's going to enable us to advance the kingdom of God. It's that very love of Jesus, knowing being loved by God, that it gives us that foundation. So no matter what we are facing, nothing will separate us from the love of God. It's that secure foundation. It's that safe place that is so important. And that's why the safe place is such a big part, because people know this is where they can experience the true love of God and start to be able to receive it and have a safe place. No matter what the politicians are saying, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Be established. Simply receive the word of God by faith. That's what the truth is. Satan will come to you and he will say, you cannot receive this love of God because of what you are doing or what you have done. So that's, you can be fully persuaded by the devil, or you can be fully persuaded by the Holy Spirit. It's a choice that you and I make all the time. See, take every thought captive and make it obedient unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Okay, very important for us to grow in these areas over here. Okay, and then we will go in unity where Jesus, our King of Kings, leads us. And so that is what we're experiencing as surrendered people. We no longer live for ourselves. It's the selfless love that God has been speaking to us about. Self is no longer the standard in how we're going to love somebody. He is the new standard within us as born again believers. So now we begin to go, Jesus, before self would lead me, now Jesus, your incredible love for people. And if we walk in love, you walk in the Spirit. Okay, and we will then know the way Jesus will lead us, the Holy Spirit will lead us. So we're going to look at that, probably next week we will start to look at the practical way of how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Okay, because that's important to be able to be established in what we are busy looking at right now. So, I want us to read a portion of scripture over here in Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 2, and I know it's pretty small over here, but I want to just read it. Now I pray that we'll be fully persuaded that this is us. Okay, if you're not fully persuaded, the grace of God, just loose the grace of God that faith will come as we hear Jesus speak to you and I. And His fullness, this is Jesus' fullness, fills you even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. That's quite a statement. That's why I always say it's terrible when we want to carry the old man in that coffin behind us, because it really does stink. And that's what he's saying over here. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm. So that's Satan and the demonic realm. Obeying that, this is all of us that's not born again. This is how we used to be. So you know your friends and family members that aren't born again. This is still their situation. They're still trapped, obeying. They're living by the religion, the customs, and the values of this world, obeying Satan and the way he controls everything, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently. One thing you can say, the devil's not lazy. He works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. And we see that worldwide. Before we got born again, we were examples of this. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. That's why we had to, Christ had to die as a man so that we can take his death and by faith receive the fact that his death is now our death, so that we can die to this old self-life and now we now live in him. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everybody else. But God still loved us with such great love, even while we were still sinners. You see, he is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ. Very, very important that. And saved us by his wonderful grace. Okay, again, the word grace emphasizing over here. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness. When we speak about being a child of light, this is important that we will share more in the coming weeks. We will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved by faith. This faith comes from God. It's a gift to us, and we simply believed, and we received now everything that Christ has done. We have received that by faith. We hadn't earned it. It's a gift for you and I. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will be able to boast, for salvation is never the reward for good works or human striving. That's religion promotes that. We have become his poetry, recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, remember being yoked with Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it. Incredible word this for us over here. And so we want to look at, it's in our own personal life, but today I want to start looking at it concerning our town, concerning God's promise for 1947. But it could be also, the same applies to where you stay, where you work, your school, wherever we may be. It's the same for us, because even before we were born, God planned in advance. So what is our predetermined purpose in Christ Jesus? What is South Africa's predetermined purpose? What is Sasselberg's? See, and so God wants us to understand what he has already predetermined according to his purpose, his goodwill, in and through his son Jesus, what our town is all about, or what our nation is all about, or what your personal life is all about. Okay, and that's the discovery that is important for us over there. So even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it. And the word good works is important over here, because being a light in a city is about the good works that comes from the heart of God to be displayed for all to be able to see. So what good works has God purposed for Sasselberg? What good works does God has predestined before we were even born to do through your life? It needs to be displayed for all to be able to see and glorify the Father. Okay, so that's why when last Sunday our yes is a serious yes when we say yes to Jesus. But in our yes to Jesus, what did he say? He says, I will make you fishers of men. You see, he will make us. We are so trying to be perfect. But Jesus said very clearly, I will make you fishers of men. So when we say yes to Jesus, there's a rest knowing by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, he's preparing us, he's making us. All that you and I have to do is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Take what God is sharing with us and just take that and apply it to our lives and walk in that. He's doing the incredible work within us. Okay, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the life of the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life that so works within us. And we call that in theology sanctification. So here we have this an amazing reality. And so that's the question that we're asking. What has God predestined for our town? What good works does God want to reveal through the body of Christ so that the nation is able to see the good works that God has predestined for our town? What has God predestined for Funabel or for Renachan? What good works? You see, God is creative. So I believe that every village, every town, I believe that, you know, every nation, God has specifically planned something incredible to display his glory. So in the big picture of all, people will be able to see, wow, God, this is you. I can see something about you in this town, something about you in this town, something about you in this city. So that the nations can have an evidence, they can see the glory of God. Israel was called to display the glory of God so that the nations can see what God is like, his involvement with his people. The same with you and I. So what about our town? What about where you stay in Alberton? What is God's purpose for you as a family? Okay, that's what we're going to be seeking and breaking through this year, to get that established. So I want to go back to a few years back when God spoke in a prophetic vision concerning our town. And when God showed the reality of the mountain and the darkness that covered the earth, but the light on this high mountain that was so bright that it shone and it exposed darkness. Some of the light was onto the other mountains and that over there. But the people were able to see there's a light on that mountain. And God spoke about his glory. He spoke, and that's when he gave I'll recognize this mountain, this building by 1947. So I know, and many of us know, that here the body of Christ in 1947, we are light. We are children of light. Okay. And so these are the scriptures that God, after 3 weeks asking God for confirmation, these are the scriptures. In the last day, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. Remember Daniel 2? When the king Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and Daniel came and interpreted, and he said, very clearly, he said, you saw a rock coming out of the mountain that grew into a very large mountain that destroyed all the other mountains, the kingdoms. And so here we see again that the mountain, the kingdom of God, that rock that was taken out that grew into a mountain that filled the whole earth, the kingdom of God, the Lord's temple, you and I, as believers, the temple of the Holy Spirit, will be established as the highest. See, the kingdom of God will be established. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. come into the kingdom of God. They want to meet with the children of God. And He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths. And then, as I've shared before, as I was leaving my study, the Holy Spirit said, go back, I'm not finished with you yet. Go and read this. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. And over everything the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade, safe place from the heat of the day, and a refuge and a hiding place from the storms and rain. So here we, what is God predestined for our town? What's God predestined for us as believers living in a town or involved in this town some way or the other? Okay, it's important to know, God, I want to be part of this. I want my life to mean something. I want to be able to live according to what You have predestined for our town. You've placed me in a town, and I want to be part of something. Okay, that's purpose. That's reason for being alive. It'll give you the energy, or give you the ability to be able to face whatever you're facing, because you're connecting to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. You're connecting to Thy kingdom come, Father, Thy will be done on earth. So you're asking God, that which You have predestined, that's good works before I was born. Yes to that, Lord. See, so we are connecting to the will of God. So it's not our will. We said yes to Jesus. And we got born again. We said, yet Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, guys, I'm going to follow you. He said, follow me. So we said yes to Jesus. So I know for me personally, I know this is our destiny for our town. And I say yes to Jesus. I'll follow you in fulfilling this and to seeing what You have purposed in the lives of the people of Metsimaholo to be displayed for all to see how awesome and how good You are. Let the nations come and meet the real Jesus Christ. Let the nations come and meet the reality of who God really is. Your increase of Your glory, Lord. Manifest more of Your glory. That's what we've been praying for. Okay, so one of the days we were busy praying, and this is quite some time back, and after we were praying, I asked for folk what has God spoken, and Steve, Dickie's husband, Steve Langley, this God spoke very clearly to him there in Isaiah 60, 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Does it sound familiar to Isaiah chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 4? Does it sound familiar to Ephesians chapter 3, where we were once in that darkness, and the demonic realm has people all captured, but we have been born again, and now we are children of light? So let's live as light. What takes place as we live as light? Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And that's why when we spoke about the word holy, the Holy One to be born, Jesus Christ, is different. The word is not only set apart, but it also refers to being different. You and I are different. We are no longer children of darkness. We are children of light. We are different. Okay. So that's what we... Matthew chapter 4. This is the fulfillment concerning Jesus Christ. When Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, He withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum and was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. We're dealing with spiritual truths here. One day, I was busy and at home. It was night time. I think it was a Friday evening. And must say, about 8 o'clock, there's a knock on the door. And there's this young lady that comes. And she says, I see the light over your house. I'm trying to escape from the occult and I need help. See, it's spiritual. She's in darkness. She saw the great light. Guys, you're dealing with something big. Say, in a town controlled by Satan, children of light, people can begin, those in darkness, as the Holy Spirit starts to work in their lives, those in darkness will start to be able to receive, but there's light. I need help. And they'll be drawn to the light. Okay. And I sent her to took her to a family there that took her in, and they were more specialized in deliverance and dealing in this area. And that, and years ago, after that, I was at a meeting there at the River of Life, and yes, this young lady said, "Do you remember me?" And I sort of, not really, no. She said, "I was that one that was escaping from witchcraft, and I needed help. And here I am serving Jesus Christ here at River of Life." And that, guys, we're dealing with spiritual truths over here. This is who we are. And that's why today we're going to have a simple, just a, God, I agree, I'm light. Just that simple statement. We're going to simply receive truth. That's who we are. Okay. God will, we'll move on next time about that. But notice over there, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. We'll come back to that. No. Okay. John 1 verse 1 to 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. Now notice this. And that life was the light of all mankind. How do you recognize God's light? Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. Important. That's why we must mature. How do we recognize the angel of light, Satan, or Christ Jesus, the real light? That's why, because we need to know the character, the nature of Christ Jesus. That's how you recognize. You need to know, because we know the character of Satan. We've lived controlled by him for many years before we got born again. So we know that reality. So be careful. A lot of ministers come as an angel of light. Be careful. Okay? Are you being trapped? Are you being manipulated? Are you being put into a place of fear and bondage? Are you being controlled? These are the things you must ask to recognize. Because here, the light of Christ is about His life. The abundant life that He gives to you and I. Okay? So that's why the maturing process of being children of light in 1947 or in your workplace or in your school, wherever you may be, to be a child of light in to there, the maturity is so, so big. It's so easy to manifest the darkness. It's so easy to manifest the self-centeredness. To walk, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's such a profound truth. That's the where we've got to go. Now we carry on, and he says over there, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or understood it. The Greek is both. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Okay, so when we're speaking about we being light in a town, the evidence of light is the life of God, the life of Christ being manifested. His glory, in other words, who He is, being revealed. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're pressing in. We've decreed the manifestation of the kingdom and the glory of God. Now we're getting established. Now we've got to take and we've got to get this into us. We've got to start living in this truth more than we've ever lived before. Now we go back to Jesus began to preach there in Matthew 4:7, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of light. Okay. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We are no longer children of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom. We are in the kingdom of light, in kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So again, we're going to spend a lot of time in these scriptures. Now today, I want to just stop over here. Jesus speaking to the disciples, and notice what he says over there. He says, you are the light of the world. We're dealing spiritual truths now. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let's go back. When God showed the vision of 1947 on top of the mountain in his glory. See, Sasselburg cannot be hidden. It has a predestined purpose to shine the light, the glory, the presence of our King Jesus Christ. Okay? It cannot be hidden. Every child of God, wherever you are, in your workplace, in the schools, we cannot be hidden. Okay? Because we are, not we will be. We are the light of the world. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Oh, when Jesus showed me this, he said, here, the church here in 1947, I've placed it here to shine and be a light. We either accept it or not. You see, a yes is yes. We either, Lord, you've placed us in this town to be light. We are light, so that those in darkness can see and come and be drawn to you, Jesus Christ. What a privilege that you and I have, eh? But do we believe? Now we're carrying on, because many, 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 even today, when they hear this word, they will look at themselves and say, but I've got so much darkness in me. I've got this, I've got this, I've got that, I've got that, I've got that. And Jesus says, listen guys, you're a new creation in me. You are light. I will make you to become disciples of men. Follow me. As you follow me, you will find the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will highlight something. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Just follow me. Keep in step with the Spirit, because you are living in by the Spirit. See? Carrying on over there. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we go back to Ephesians 2:10. The good deeds that God has prepared in advance before we were even born to be a display. Praise God that we got born again and self is no longer the ruling standard of our lives. Christ is. The power of sin is no longer the rule of our lives. The law of the Holy Spirit is now the new law, the new rule, and we live by the Spirit. And he says, let your light, and I put that over there because it's an aorist active imperative, that let your light, and that's what it means. It means an action, that let is the action, describing the result of something that has happened. When you and I got born again, it's happened. We are children of light. Now, it carries on. And it gives rise to the action that you're commanded to take in the present. Okay, so that's what it is now. We are children of light. Now the command is, let your light shine. Born again, now let it shine. Let it shine. So live in the Spirit, and that we will speak about next week, how we can walk in the Spirit, so that the light of Christ shines through our lives. So, as we conclude, Oh, let's go to this one over there. Are you a child of light? Can we agree? Because we want to just simply receive. If the enemy is accusing you, God's pure faith says, in Christ Jesus, my blood. And one of the things that's so, so important for us, in 1 John chapter 1, and verse 6, 7, and 8, where it speaks about God as light, and in Him there is no darkness. And if we claim to have fellowship with Him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie to ourselves. But if we walk in the light, and even though we mess up now and again, because we're walking in His light, His blood continuously cleanses us. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. We just got to listen and be obedient and walk in the light, because we are children of light. His blood continuously cleanses us, removes, purifies us. He's awesome. Okay? Freedom. So guys, I want to pray as we have communion, and if you want to just agree, you are welcome, but all I'm going to be praying is, Lord, thank you that we are light to receive that fact today. Okay. Father, this morning we want to thank you at the time when Adam and Eve disobeyed you, darkness came into this world. And ever from that moment, mankind has lived in darkness. Mankind lived under the control of Satan, who has taken this world captive. But then came where you prophesied through the prophets, you spoke that a light will come. And as a light comes, this light will overcome darkness. So we celebrate you this morning, Jesus, as we drink of the wine and eat of the bread, celebrating this incredible new covenant. You as light coming into this world. We celebrate, Lord, even now as we see how you destroyed the works of Satan, and how darkness was shattered. How darkness flees. So today, Lord, as we partake with you in the communion, we recognize that we, because of you, in being in you, we are children of light. We are light to this world. That's who we are. We no longer live for ourselves, but Lord, you in us, and we are yielded to you, and we follow you. We live for you. So what a joy to make a statement this morning, just to say, I am light in you, Jesus Christ. What a joy to be able to say that the believers, we here seated here this morning, we are a lamp in the city, in the town. And Lord, I'm asking that where we are in the workplaces or in the schools, that by your Holy Spirit there will be revelation, so that the Christians, the believers in the schools, will be able to stand and say, we are light in this school. We are light in this workplace. We are light in this town, in this neighborhood, in this home. So we want to thank you, Lord, as you help us to be established in our thought process now, to be able to keep on renewing our mind, just to get into this truth, we are light. I am a child of light because of you, Jesus. I want to thank you that our hearts are getting into agreement, our mind is getting into agreement, but also our words, our confession is in agreement, that we confess this. We speak this over our lives. We speak this over the body of Christ. So today, in the name of Jesus, we speak over the body of Christ, and we say to the body, to the believers, to the ecclesia in Christ Jesus, we are light in the city that God has placed us in. I thank you, Father, as your Holy Spirit works and awakens us within the body. I also just speak over the body of Christ. We are in Christ Jesus a holy priesthood. We are different. We are no longer children of darkness. We are children of light. We have been separated. We have been rescued out of the dominion of darkness. We've been brought into the kingdom of light. We are light, and we will let our light shine. So, Father, thank you as by your Holy Spirit working to be able to do something that is immeasurably more than what we are asking today because of your power that's at work within each believer. So we want to thank you that every believer in our towns that we are representing here today, Holy Spirit, because you are in the believer, we want to thank you that you're going to be awakening truth, awakening the awareness that we are different people, awakening the reality that we are light, awakening that within us that we cannot just compromise, and awakening within us the incredible victory that when we are facing temptation, we don't have to yield because of a new law, the power of the Holy Spirit, you in us, the gift of righteousness that we can just take hold of and say no to the temptation and to find the victory. Awakening within us that we don't have to display darkness because we are no longer darkness. Awakening within us the reality of life in the Spirit. And this we want to thank you, Jesus, as we eat together with you, knowing that this is your will for your body, knowing that as we are in agreement, Father, thank you that this is being answered so that you are glorified, that people will be drawn to the light. So we want to thank you this morning, Father, that many times through the prophets you have spoken about a great harvest. But we want to thank you that you're dealing with the reality of us as children being light, so that people are drawn to light. So wherever there's, where we are as believers, a community of believers, in fellowships of, in church families, wherever we may be, Lord, we ask and we receive, Holy Spirit, your work, so that people can see light. So everything that is compromising who we are, we ask that you will expose it, so that we can repent. Any infrastructure, anything that we say or do that is hindering and it's like just another taint of darkness, maybe a bit grey, compromisation, we ask it will no longer be our witness, but it'll be true light in what we do, what we say. And this we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we yielded to you and we said yes to you as we follow you. Amen. Amen.